Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. Glad that you could be part of this thing here on a Thursday morning. Beautiful start to the day. It's in the 60s out there when I went out this morning. Little bit on the cool side. And we are here in the studio this morning. And Carl's giving me the evil eye because when I touch the volume control on my computer, Carl.
Yeah, don't do that.
It makes a sound. I don't know why, but I needed my sound to work here on my computer.
So and we think the sound is better on Rumble. But your face is not on there currently.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Which we're going to change.
We're working on that. This is a work in progress. We got Brad Range down here in the studio this morning helping us out, carrying the extra hat of engineer duty. So we do appreciate that. Scott J. Gowan here along with me, sitting in for Kim St. Ange this morning.
Good morning, Mark.
It's been fun, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy doing this from a different studio. But
and the nicest thing for Scott is that we're about 5 feet from his desk.
Yeah.
So he can just turn around and walk right in the studio.
Yeah, that's good.
These temporary digs. Hopefully we're back in our regular studio tomorrow, and that'll be just fine.
That'll
with
be
me.
Great.
The sooner, the better. Would be fantastic. All right, coming up, we got Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. We'll find out. Maybe she's going to get Benjamin Netanyahu on this weekend, and he can talk more about the James Bond-like trick they pulled off on Hezbollah, a deadly trick in many cases, with the many different devices set off over there. Anxious to get her thoughts on that. We got Griff Jenkins at the bottom of the hour. But right now, I want to get to the top stories of the morning. Carl, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Holden police pulled over a vehicle with tags that expired before some of our reporters were even born. Will Wagner made it clear to me he is not one of those reporters, has the story.
2000. The tags on that car expired in the year 2000. That was in Maine. That's got to just about beat anything I've seen even here in downtown St. Louis.
I hear somebody yell, you can't bring that hat in here. And I thought she was joking, and I kind of went, oh, ha, 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 you know, and kept walking toward the second checkpoint.
Yeah, this is a lady who went to see the Arizona Cardinals football game this past weekend and was told she had to take off her Make America Great Again hat in order to get into the stadium.
Now they have pledged to carry out the largest deportation, a mass deportation in American history. Imagine what that would look like and what that would be.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
A made-for-TV and radio ad with Kamala Harris's own statement on it. Donald Trump says, that's exactly what I'm going to do if you re-elect me president of the United States.
Solid people, great pilots for the U.S. Air Force, etc. They've seen things that they cannot explain.
Yeah. So that was Donald Trump on with Greg Gutfeld last night. And it was pretty interesting because they let Kat Timpf ask a question. And she's like, okay, I've got a president sitting here in front of me. Now, here's the thing about it. And, you know, I'm a fan of Donald Trump. I want him to get reelected. I haven't been shy about that. But he pulled a little bit of a Kamala Harris here. Kamala Harris has asked, "What are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?"
Right.
And what's her answer?
I grew up in a middle-class family.
Thank you. So she completely distracts from the question and starts talking about something else. I think, interestingly, when you hear the question that is asked to Donald Trump here about aliens in America, the kind from outer space with green skin, not the other ones, he completely switches the conversation to something else, and he doesn't answer the question. Now, where is Drew when we need him, Carl? Because he's my alien conspiracy guy.
That's right.
He's not here today. But listen to this question and answer by Trump. It's a little long. Listen.
Like Paramount.
Can I please ask a question just because I'm never going to be allowed in a room with a president again?
Sure.
Are there aliens at Area 51?
You know, I'll tell you, it's a funny thing because I think that might be a question that I get more than any question. It is the craziest thing. So we have that so-called area. They consider it like a sacred area. Mm-hmm. And I will say this. I don't think I'm a believer, but I've interviewed pilots that look, I like Tom Cruise, but better than Tom Cruise. The blonde crew cuts, the whole, and this, yes, sir. And they were in the Oval Office, three or four pilots. These are not people that make up stories. These are, they said, all I know, sir, is there was a round object that was going four times faster than my F-22, which is a very fast plane. And it wasn't, you know, it shouldn't have been. It was round, sir. They have seen, I mean, four or five guys I've interviewed, solid people, great pilots for the U.S. Air Force, etc. They've seen things that they cannot explain.
Follow-up question.
Also a maybe.
Follow-up question, Mr.
Maybe.
President.
Yeah.
Follow-up. If, in fact, there are aliens, would you be willing to put tariffs on them to help us?
Yes.
They're not just going to fly down in here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. But the question was a very simple one. Are there aliens at Area 51? And Donald Trump admits it's the most asked question he gets, but he didn't answer the question.
Right.
We need to know if there's an Independence Day scenario at Area 51. Right? I mean, we know that they're keeping Joe Biden alive somewhere. He could be in suspended animation down there in the basement of Area 51 somewhere.
Yeah.
But he didn't answer the question.
No, he didn't. I mean, I thought the answer was pretty good, though, because it's true about the Air Force pilots that have seen some really strange phenomena.
Oh, yeah. And maybe the question, if I had a chance to ask him one question on a set like that, I'm trying to think, I would probably ask, did the CIA kill John F. Kennedy? Because RFK claims that Donald Trump knows the answer to that question, but that Mike Pompeo convinced him he could never open the files because it would do too much damage to America. All the people connected with the CIA or anything from that time period are long dead. There's nobody still alive that could be harmed by it. So the only logical conclusion is the answer is yes, and they don't want the American people to be told your own government killed a president.
Right.
But that's got to be it. I mean, how do you reach any other conclusion? So given Cat Temp's opportunity there, that's the question I would have asked the president. And he would have skipped on that one, too.
Maybe, but he did say he wasn't a believer. So that kind of was leading me to think he doesn't think that there are aliens in Area
51. It's a yes or no question. Did a spacecraft crash, and are there aliens at Area 51? Now, maybe he could say no, because there aren't any aliens there anymore, but I'd love to have seen him answer that definitively. That would have been so easy. Mr. President, it's on a need-to-know basis. And you don't have the need to know. Oh, boy. Coming up, we'll get to Shannon Bream. She knows a lot with Fox News Sunday. We'll be right back.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Lord,
Two more reps.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So I'd call up my wife and I'd say, baby, who could draw crowds? Nobody can draw crowds like me. Nobody, not even close. I'm the greatest of all time, maybe greater even than Elvis, because Elvis had a guitar. I don't have a guitar. Elvis had a guitar. I don't have the privilege of a guitar. But I'd say, baby, who could do it like me? Nobody could do it like me. How good?
Get up, baby! Get up!
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Vox News Sunday.
Yeah, Shannon, one thing you can say about Donald Trump is he's one of a kind.
That's absolutely right.
I am greater than Elvis, and I don't have a guitar, he says.
What if he started taking up the guitar?
Maybe he should.
That'd be interesting. I think he's very into the golf, which he is, you know, by most accounts, an excellent golfer. I'm not sure he has time to take up a musical instrument right now.
Probably not.
Maybe down the road somewhere.
So, you know, I'm watching some of the highlights this morning of his speech in New York last night. I read that that's like a 40 or 50,000 seat arena. I mean, there seem to be people in most of the seats. Maybe you saw an angle of it that I didn't. Is that surprising for New York?
Well, that part of New York, maybe not so much, but that is an astounding crowd. We got a report, you know, these pool reports that follow the candidates around that said, before the event was officially set to start, that the capacity had been reached. I mean, it was full. Whatever the seating there, it was completely full. And, you know, there were some questions to his team, like, why are you guys doing this in New York State? It's really not in play for Republicans. But they talked about the fact that when he does something in that market in New York, you know, it goes to so many other areas, New Jersey and Pennsylvania, and you know, even if it's just local markets covering it, it does draw on people from some of those states. And, of course, we know Pennsylvania is critical. So they feel to have any strength like that in the Northeast is a huge thing, and the optics of it are obviously very good for the campaign.
Yeah, right on the heels of this Teamsters decision too. Shocking. Mm-hmm. Really? I mean, when's the last time the Teamsters didn't endorse the Democrat?
Which it is funny that essentially, for a lot of people in their minds, a sense, you know, equates to some type of endorsement of Trump. Like, if we're going to let our members vote, they're going to say that more of them want Trump than want us to endorse Harris. Us staying neutral is sort of like, you know, he's taking it as a victory lap. Essentially, it is an endorsement, is his argument. But the fact that after decades that they would sit this one out and shows just how divided their membership is. And we have always heard, listen, membership isn't in lockstep with, you know, the leadership. And gosh, the results that were released this week show that.
Yeah, very much so. You know, I don't know who you've had on the air to talk about this, but I was just listening to some of the sound bites talking about rhetoric during this campaign, maybe what's led to some of the violence we've seen, particularly aimed at Donald Trump. And people keep playing the sound bite from Congressman Dan Goldman. Let me play this.
Just unquestionable at this point that that man cannot see public office again. He is not only unfit, he is destructive to our democracy, and he has to be eliminated.
Yeah, eliminated is a strong word, but since Trump was shot, or not shot, since there was a second attempted assassination. Even Hillary Clinton has still been out claiming that he's dangerous to America. They haven't backed off one bit. How shocked are you by that?
Well, I mean, I think that just illustrates how absolutely heated and divided things are right now. You saw probably our Peter Ducey with White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre asking her why people are not backing off this word of calling Donald Trump a threat. And if you watch that exchange, got a little testy there, and she took issue with just the premise of the question. So even asking about them using the word threat is a threat? I don't know. It was a little bit convoluted for me, but this idea of sort of victim blaming, yes, Trump speaks with hyperbole, and it's very heated. I mean, he's been doing that for years, and, you know, when you ask people about it, they'll say, listen, I like his policies, or I don't like his rhetoric or the way that he acts. But to put the assignment of somebody who is potentially an assassination victim or target twice legitimately that we know of in recent weeks, and to say that they're not going to not only turn down their rhetoric, but that it's his rhetoric that's getting him attacked, that's a really tough thing for people to work through in their brains.
Well, it is. And I don't know where it ends. They claim that Secret Service protection's been increased, maybe had been increased prior to this latest incident. But I heard even Chris Cuomo, you may know the guy, but he even said what Biden and Harris did in reaction to this wasn't enough. Like it's almost been treated like an almost, oh well, kind of situation by a lot of the people in the mainstream media.
Well, and I think, listen, the Secret Service feels under a ton of pressure. There have been questions about whether it's an issue of more funding. They say Trump has the protection level that he had when he was president. That's now the current level. But even Democrats like, you know, Senator Blumenthal are out there saying, he's the one who came out and said people are going to be shocked and appalled to find out just how bad this situation was, the failures there. Mm-hmm. And he says, you know, it's not an issue of money. It's an issue of policy and execution of their duties. And he's also getting ready to subpoena the Department of Homeland Security. He says they're stonewalling and won't even give the information. So when you have Democrats coming out and using language that strong, you know there's a real problem, and it's going to go public at some point. And it feels like they're trying to get ahead of just how bad it was.
Sure. Who do you have for this weekend?
Well, we're actually going to have a member, Republican and Democrat, of the House task force that are investigating now two assassination attempts to get the, you know, inside scoop on what they found. When we're going to know more, how bad is it? We've also got Governor Doug Burgum with us. He is a Trump, advocate, and we'll have a Democrat governor we should be able to announce this afternoon as well as the counterpart.
Great. Thank you, Shannon.
Have a great weekend.
Yep, we'll talk soon. Shannon Bream there, host of Fox News Sunday. Griff Jenkins going to be on the phone. When we get back from this commercial break, we'll be here, right here.
Unbelievable. During her period of 3.5 years, she was in charge of the border. She lost more than 325,000 migrant children, many of whom have been trafficked, raped, and many of whom are dead. Many of whom are dead. Think of what that is. That's like Yankee Stadium, filled up many, many times. Think of it. Think of it. As California Attorney General, she redefined.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, Griff, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You're kind of dealing with this immigration thing this morning. I mean, Trump was talking about it in New York last night, but the left does not want to talk about what's going on in Springfield, Ohio at all.
They don't. And, you know, I will say, and we can come back to Springfield, Ohio. It's going to be interesting. Vivek Ramaswamy, right? He ran for president, obviously, and now fully behind Trump. He's got a town hall, I believe he's holding tonight in Springfield. So we're going to hear, I think, maybe for the first time from the largest gathering of people that live there that are wanting to sound off. but are being perhaps somewhat drowned out by some of the local officials that are saying, no, you know, there's like, it's not terrible. We just have a Haitian population that's now one third the size of the entire population. We come back to that because I just want, Mark, to put my finger on something that, you know, as you get older, you learn in life, like to really make sure you highlight and put your energies into things that matter, the things that matter most. Charles Krauthammer wrote a great book about it. And today I'm covering a hearing, and I'm going to get it on the air in the next hour, and I hope I get a lot of attention to it. And that is, there's a joint House committee hearing today into specifically just the threat of a terrorist slipping across the border. And while Springfield is obviously a big story right now, there's you know, it is so true when you hear people saying that we've gone back to living in a September 10th mentality and we've forgotten what happened on 9/11. But the people I talk to, including the heads of the Border Patrol, ICE, and all the border sectors, they are all kept up at night, mostly by the biggest thing, which is a terror threat slipping through the cracks. And that's what this hearing today is going to dive into. And I was last night doing the numbers, and I'll just leave you with this. In the past 3 years, that's actually not even the entirety of the Biden-Harris period, but in just the past 3 years, the number of individuals caught between the ports of entry, meaning Border Patrol nabbed them, that hit the terror watch list has increased more than 1,300% compared to the previous 5 years going back to 2017. And it seems that nearly every week, if not in some cases every day, we're getting people from Iran, Lebanon, Syria, and elsewhere that are special interest aliens that possibly, if we don't have the data to hit the terror watch list, we still don't know who they are. And that's what's something that I think, you know, in addition to the community safety violence threat that we have and the tragedies, like Rachel Morin's mother was testifying yesterday in the House hearing that was held yesterday. The terror threat is the one that's easy to forget about because we don't see it. But as we saw in 9/11, it doesn't take a lot to do a massive life-altering damage. And I want them to dig in. There's one of the witnesses I can't wait to hear from, which is a guy that for years ran the Terrorist Screening Center, which is the FBI's, you know, counterterrorism group that maintains that terror watch list. Be interesting to see what he's got to say. And you know, when you had Harris yesterday saying, you know, Trump's racist and he just wants to have this mass deportation, can you imagine how terrible that is? Well, okay, that's one view, but what about if people have snuck across that are a threat to this country from these countries that sponsor terror? Shouldn't they be sent back?
Yeah, this suggestion might be coming a day or two late, but what if we gave all of these people that we process at the border a pager?
Yeah, I'm not sure you can still get those, you know, it's like something out of a spy movie. I mean, I can't get enough of it. I don't know if I watch a lot of Netflix whenever I'm traveling and stuff, and I got hooked on that Israeli spy series, Fauda. It's like something out of that show Fauda, and it's really pretty remarkable when you think about the amount of human intelligence operation that had to go into setting up the dummy company, you know, having everybody from the sales clerk to the person that packages the pagers to the end of the line delivery to the Hezbollah terrorist, how much of a complex operation you needed to have assembled to pull that off.
Do you get the Babylon Bee, Griff?
Yes.
Yeah, do you see the headline yesterday? Hezbollah starting to think they shouldn't have gotten pagers from Levi Goldbromstein's Pager Emporium.
Yeah.
I mean, the memes have been just brutal on this.
Brutal indeed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that story, I think one would assume, because we saw a second day of it yesterday with walkie-talkies, you would assume that it's not done. But I'm not sure the Hezbollah folks are talking to each other very often no, right now.
No, with cups and strings tied between them or something like that, right?
Cone shells.
No kidding. I mean, other than carrier pigeons, what do they go to?
It's a good question. And listen, I love that they can't make phone calls and page anybody in the U.S. because we've seen the, you know, we've foiled ISIS plots. We just had a Afghanistan terror guy I was reporting on a couple months ago that came across the border in the San Diego sector, which is where the overwhelming majority of these suspect people are coming through. But hopefully it affects their ability to communicate with anybody that might be in the country here.
Let's hope people are listening to some of this testimony today. I plan to play some of it tomorrow to find out more about this terrorism threat. Somebody, I forget who it was, somebody had on yesterday, said there are more military age men that have entered this country illegally than our entire standing United States Army in the last few years.
You know, I didn't see that, and I don't know that off the top of my head, but I will tell you, it would not surprise me in the least, if that were true. Because as I've reported, I think probably with you in the past, for the decade plus I've covered the border, as this crisis has slowly escalated, or I suppose quickly escalated over the last 3.5 years, there was always, as we were seeing numbers increase, there was always the unspoken red line, which is multiple border officials said, until the moment that we're releasing single adult middle-aged military-aged males into the country, until we're releasing them in mass numbers, that's going to be, at that point, the system.
Unbelievable. During her period of 3.5 years, she was in charge of the border. She lost more than 325,000 migrant children, many of whom have been trafficked, raped, and many of whom are dead. Many of whom are dead. Think of what that is. That's like Yankee Stadium, filled up many, many times. Think of it. Think of it. As California Attorney General, she redefined.
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
All right, Griff, good morning, my friend. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. You're kind of dealing with this immigration thing this morning. I mean, Trump was talking about it in New York last night, but the left does not want to talk about what's going on in Springfield, Ohio at all.
They don't. And, you know, I will say, and we can come back to Springfield, Ohio. It's going to be interesting. Vivek Ramaswamy, right? He ran for president, obviously, and now fully behind Trump. He's got a town hall, I believe he's holding tonight in Springfield. So we're going to hear, I think, maybe for the first time from the largest gathering of people that live there that are wanting to sound off, but are being perhaps somewhat drowned out by some of the local officials that are saying, no, you know, there's like, it's not terrible. We just have a Haitian population that's now one third the size of the entire population. We come back to that because I just want, Mark, to put my finger on something that, you know, as you get older, you learn in life, like to really make sure you highlight and put your energies into things that matter, the things that matter most. Charles Krauthammer wrote a great book about it. And today I'm covering a hearing, and I'm going to get it on the air in the next hour, and I hope I get a lot of attention to it. And that is, there's a joint House committee hearing today into specifically just the threat of a terrorist slipping across the border. And while Springfield is obviously a big story right now, there's you know, it is so true when you hear people saying that we've gone back to living in a September 10th mentality and we've forgotten what happened on 9/11. But the people I talk to, including the heads of the Border Patrol, ICE, and all the border sectors, they are all kept up at night, mostly by the biggest thing, which is a terror threat slipping through the cracks. And that's what this hearing today is going to dive into. And I was last night doing the numbers, And I'll just leave you with this. In the past 3 years, that's actually not even the entirety of the Biden-Harris period, but in just the past 3 years, the number of individuals caught between the ports of entry, meaning Border Patrol nabbed them, that hit the terror watch list has increased more than 1,300% compared to the previous 5 years going back to 2017. And it seems that nearly every week, if not in some cases every day, we're getting people from Iran, Lebanon, Syria, and elsewhere that are special interest aliens that possibly, if we don't have the data to hit the terror watch list, we still don't know who they are. And that's what's something that I think, you know, in addition to the community safety violence threat that we have and the tragedies like Rachel Morin's mother was testifying yesterday in the House hearing that was held yesterday. The terror threat is the one that's easy to forget about because we don't see it. But as we saw in 9/11, it doesn't take a lot to do a massive life-altering damage. And I want them to dig in. There's one of the witnesses I can't wait to hear from, which is a guy that for years ran the Terrorist Screening Center, which is the FBI's, you know, counterterrorism group that maintains that terror watch list. Be interesting to see what he's got to say. And you know, when you had Harris yesterday saying, you know, Trump's racist and he just wants to have this mass deportation. Can you imagine how terrible that is? Well, okay, that's one view. But what about if people have snuck across that are a threat to this country from these countries that sponsor terror? Shouldn't they be sent back?
Yeah, this suggestion might be coming a day or two late, but what if we gave all of these people that we process at the border a pager?
Yeah, I'm not sure you can still get those, you know, it's like something out of a spy movie. I mean, I can't get enough of it. I don't know if you, I watch a lot of Netflix whenever I'm traveling and stuff, and I got hooked on that Israeli spy series, Fauda. It's like something out of that show Fauda, and it's really pretty remarkable when you think about the amount of human intelligence operation that had to go into setting up the dummy company, you know, having everybody from the sales clerk to the person that packages the pagers to the end of the line delivery to the Hezbollah terrorist, how much of a complex operation you needed to have assembled to pull that off.
Do you get the Babylon Bee, Griff?
Yes.
Yeah, do you see the headline yesterday? Hezbollah starting to think they shouldn't have gotten pagers from Levi Goldbromstein's Pager Emporium.
Yeah.
I mean, the memes have been just brutal on this.
Brutal. Brutal indeed.
Yeah.
And, you know, that story, I think one would assume, because we saw a second day of it yesterday with walkie-talkies, you would assume that it's not done. But I'm not sure the Hezbollah folks are talking to each other very often no, right now.
No, with cups and strings tied between them or something like that,
shells.
Right?
Cone shells.
No kidding. I mean, other than carrier pigeons, what do they go to?
It's a good question. And listen, I love that they can't make phone calls and page anybody in the U.S. because we've seen we've foiled ISIS plots. We just had a Afghanistan terror guy I was reporting on a couple months ago that came across the border in the San Diego sector, which is where the overwhelming majority of these suspect people are coming through. But hopefully it affects their ability to communicate with anybody that might be in the country here.
Let's hope people are listening to some of this testimony today. I plan to play some of it tomorrow to find out more about this terrorism threat. Somebody, I forget who it was, somebody had on yesterday, said there are more military age men that have entered this country illegally than our entire standing United States Army in the last few years.
You know, I didn't see that, and I don't know that off the top of my head, but I will tell you, it would not surprise me in the least, if that were true. Because as I've reported, I think probably with you in the past, for the decade plus I've covered the border, as this crisis has slowly escalated, or I suppose quickly escalated over the last 3.5 years, there was always, as we were seeing numbers increase, there was always the unspoken red line, which is multiple border officials said, until the moment that we're releasing single adult middle-aged military-aged males into the country, until we're releasing them in mass numbers, that's going to be, at that point, the system will be broken.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we hit that about 2 years ago. So if those numbers now are accurate, it wouldn't surprise me.
Hey, Griff, we appreciate your time as always, my friend. Have a good day.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
Yep, talk to you soon. Griff Jenkins there live up in D.C. for us this morning. We're going to take a quick break. You know, one thing that I have not talked about at all is this Marcellus Williams case. I want to get to that a little bit here, the man accused of killing a former Post-Dispatch reporter. I covered that story when I was at Channel 4. We're going to get into it coming up here in a minute.
He's strange. Him and I are the same age. How does he look so much younger?
Now, he's a strange guy.
Strange.
You know, he called up years ago. I was in the White House, and he said, "My house is being surrounded by people with American flags." I said, "Is that a good thing or a bad thing?" He said, "I think they're going to attack me." But this was during the riots and everything else. They were MAGA people. You know, they like the American flag, all right? And they also had Trump. And I said, "How do you know?" There were about 15,000, He said, "Could you put out a word like that I'm your friend? I don't even know him, but that's the only time I ever spoke to him." And if you look back long ago, tweets, before Truth, tweets, long ago, I put out a statement, "He's a good man, the governor. He's on our side. I didn't know him, but I didn't want him to get hurt." And everybody put down their flags and they left.
Yes.
He said it was a miracle. He said it was a miracle. I didn't want him to get hurt.
Scared by the American flag.
They
say he's not a nice guy. I would have had fun with that. I mean, I'm like, call the barbecue. Go outside.
That was Tyrus there at the end. That was Trump on the Gutfeld last night, having a little bit of fun at Tim Walz's expense. He's like, "Yeah, they all say Trump put out a tweet that he was a great guy. Why did he do that?" He goes, "Well, I did it because he called me up and asked me to." As they were, you know, surrounding the Capitol, the governor's mansion, up there protesting what happened during the George Floyd riots and what that guy let him get away with, for sure. All right, Scott J. Gow in here with us today for Kim. Have you covered this Marcellus Williams case at all?
Yeah, to some degree. I know that his execution date is Tuesday, unless somebody steps in. He's asking the U.S. Supreme Court to step in. He's asking the governor to step in to do something. This case seems like it's pretty much a travesty.
It's not complicated. This guy killed Post-Dispatch reporter Felicia Gale. I covered it at the time. I covered the trial at the time. There was no doubt. I mean, when he went in and killed her, he stole her laptop, and then they caught him trying to sell it to a pawn shop or something. Everything about it placed him at the crime scene. The jury had no doubt about it. Do you know what his defense is here? I think it's important for people to know this. These people that want to stop him from being killed, this innocence project or whatever, they think everybody's innocent. A judge, Bruce Hilton, looked over 12,000 pages of evidence. Their argument was, well, if you check the DNA on the knife, it'll be the real killer. Well, it ends up it was the prosecutor who had handled the knife during the trial. There's no evidence anybody else was involved here. His argument that he should be released, you ready for it? There weren't enough black people on the jury. That's the reason. If more black people were on the jury, he wouldn't have been convicted. And for that reason, you should let him off now. I'm sorry. I've read through this case. I covered it at the time. This girl was brutally murdered, stabbed 38 times. I remember being in her neighborhood down there, and neighbors were just scared to death of this. And they caught this guy. They had him dead to rights, so to speak. No pun intended there. And you got Wesley Bell, who's going to be the next congressman from the 1st Congressional District out here, claiming this guy ought to be let go. There's zero evidence that he's innocent, and plenty of evidence that he's guilty. And a jury found that. But I guess if the racial makeup had been different, maybe they would. How's that for a jury system, right? I don't know. This case has gotten blown way out of proportion. And hopefully Governor Parson is going to see this justice carried out here at some point. I feel pretty strongly about that. And I would pull the switch. I don't know what we do for what our method of death. I guess we're still doing lethal injection in Missouri, aren't we?
Yeah, lethal injection.
They haven't done one in a while. I know that. But yeah, that this is a case that shouldn't even still be debated. I covered a story when I was in South Carolina. I've told this story once before, where a local mentally deranged individual went to a parking lot trying to steal a car, ended up killing two young sisters. The one just started driving. The other went to the shopping center with her sister. He got him out of the car, made them kneel in front of him, and he shot them execution style. And they convicted the guy. He was in the court when they convicted him. There was no doubt that he did it. His DNA was all over the place. And one of these innocence groups dragged that thing out for 15 years. I was working here as a reporter, and they reached out to me and said, could we get you to come in and testify to his state of mind? Did he seem like his mind was altered by drugs during his trial? I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to come in and testify about that. First of all, it's not true. Second of all, I would have pulled the switch on him 15 years ago. How much taxpayer money have you wasted giving this guy three hots and a cot for 15 years? You know he's guilty. They just don't like the death penalty at the end of the day. So I'm never going to agree with them on that one, for sure. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up next. I'm sure he'll have more on his show from the Gutfeld appearance of Donald Trump last night. Stay tuned for that. Annie is in a little later. The Mark Reardon Show, 3 to 6. We'll see you back here Friday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
He's strange.
He is strange. Oh, him and I are the same age. How does he look so much younger?
Now, he's a strange guy.
Strange.
You know, he called up years ago. I was in the White House, and he said, my house is being surrounded by people with American flags. I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? He said, I think they're going to attack me. This was during the riots and everything else. They were MAGA people. You know, they like the American flag, all right? And they also had Trump. And I said, how do you know? There were about 15,000. He said, could you put out a word like that? I'm your friend. I don't even know him. But that's the only time I ever spoke to him. And if you look back long ago, tweets before Truth, tweets. Long ago, I put out a statement. He's a good man, the governor. He's on our side. I didn't know him, but I didn't want him to get hurt. And everybody put down their flags and they left.
Yes.
He said it was a miracle. He said it was a miracle. I didn't want him to get hurt.
Scared by the American flag.
They are.
And they say he's not a nice guy. I would have had fun with that. I mean, I'm like, call the barbecue, go outside.
That was Tyrus there at the end. That was Trump on the Gutfeld last night, having a little bit of fun at Tim Walz's expense. He's like, yeah, they all say Trump put out a tweet that he was a great guy. Why did he do that? He goes, well, I did it because he called me up and asked me to. As they were, you know, surrounding the Capitol, the governor's mansion up there, protesting what happened during the George Floyd riots and what that guy let him get away with, for sure. All right. Scott J. Gow in here with us today for Kim. Have you covered this Marcellus Williams case at
all? Yeah, to some degree. I know that his execution date is Tuesday, unless somebody steps in. That he's asking the U.S. Supreme Court to step in. He's asking the governor to step in to do something. This case seems like it's pretty much a travesty.
It's not complicated. This guy killed Post-Dispatch reporter Felicia Gale. I covered it at the time. I covered the trial at the time. There was no doubt. I mean, when he went in and killed her, he stole her laptop, and then they caught him trying to sell it to a pawn shop or something. Everything about it placed him at the crime scene. The jury had no doubt about it. Do you know what his defense is here? I think it's important for people to know this. These people that want to stop him from being killed, this innocence project or whatever, they think everybody's innocent. A judge, Bruce Hilton, looked over 12,000 pages of evidence. Their argument was, well, if you check the DNA on the knife, it'll be the real killer. Well, it ends up it was the prosecutor who had handled the knife during the trial. There's no evidence anybody else was involved here. His argument that he should be released, you ready for it? There weren't enough black people on the jury. That's the reason. If more black people had been on the jury, he wouldn't have been convicted. And for that reason, you should let him off now. I'm sorry. I've read through this case. I covered it at the time. This girl was brutally murdered, stabbed 38 times. I remember being in her neighborhood down there, and neighbors were just scared to death of this. And they caught this guy. They had him to dead to rights, so to speak. No pun intended there. And you got Wesley Bell, who's going to be the next congressman from the 1st Congressional District out here, claiming this guy ought to be let go. There's zero evidence that he's innocent, and plenty of evidence that he's guilty. And a jury found that. But I guess if the racial makeup had been different, maybe they would. How's that for a jury system, right? I don't know. This case has gotten blown way out of proportion, and hopefully Governor Parson is going to see this justice carried out here at some point. I feel pretty strongly about that, and I would pull the switch. I don't know what we'd do for what our method of. I guess we're still doing lethal injection in Missouri, aren't we?
Yeah, lethal injection.
They haven't done one in a while. I know that, but yeah, that this is a case that shouldn't even still be debated. I covered a story when I was in South Carolina. I've told this story once before, where a local mentally deranged individual went to a parking lot trying to steal a car, ended up killing two young sisters. The one just started driving. The other went to the shopping center with her sister. He got him out of the car, made them kneel in front of him, and he shot them execution style. And they convicted the guy. He was in the court when they convicted him. There was no doubt that he did it. His DNA was all over the place. And one of these innocence groups dragged that thing out for 15 years. I was working here as a reporter, and they reached out to me and said, could we get you to come in and testify to his state of mind? Did he seem like his mind was altered by drugs during his trial? I'm like, hell no, I'm not going to come in and testify about that. First of all, it's not true. Second of all, I would have pulled the switch on him 15 years ago. How much taxpayer money have you wasted giving this guy three hots and a cot for 15 years? You know he's guilty. They just don't like the death penalty at the end of the day. So I'm never going to agree with them on that one, for sure. All right, that's going to do it for us. Brian Kilmeade coming up next. I'm sure he'll have more on his show from the Gutfeld appearance of Donald Trump last night. Stay tuned for that. Annie is in a little later. The Mark Reardon Show, 3 to 6. We'll see you back here Friday morning at 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.